We're continuing the Shir on Likut Imran from Torah Reish Zion, chapter 207. We dedicate today's Shir Le'iloi Nishmas Gitaleya Bas Rabaran Yosef, who is the grandmother of Aviva and Suri Albert, whose yahrzeit was yesterday on the 27th of Tishrei on Shabbos, and also Le'iloi Nishmas Horav Boruch Ben Hershel Alevi, the father of Ami Rosen, a close friend of ours, whose yahrzeit is today, the 28th of Tishrei. Rabbi Nizal begins, Kol hadiburim heim bechinas gevurois. All diburim are gevurois. When we speak about speech, the Torah uses different words to refer to speaking. We find very often the term vayoymer, vayomer Hashem al Moshe, ko omar Hashem, lemor, and we find the word ledaber. Usually, in most places in the Torah, the term amira is used to refer to soft speech, gentle speech, and the term dibur is generally used to refer to harsh speech. When Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, it says afterwards, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Koi soimar leveis Yaakov, v'saged lebnei Yisrael. This is how you should say to Beis Yaakov. Beis Yaakov refers to the women. To the women you speak softly, Amira. The Saged LeBnei Yisrael, when you're speaking to Bnei Yisrael, it's a different term that's used. There the term the Saged is used. But usually it's the term Dibur. So Rabbi Nizal tells us here, Kol HaDiburim Heim Bechinas Gevurois, Kemoshe Kosuv, as it says in Tehillim, chapter 145, in Ashrei, which we recite every day, Ugvurascha yedaberu. Your gevura speaks. So we see that dibur is coming from a place of gevura. Ukomeshakos of baksovim, and as we find in the writings of the Arizal, shehahei gevurois shebedas boikin veyoitzin meaper. The five aspects of gevura, of judgment and strength and harshness, that are part of Das, they break forth, they break through, and come out of the mouth. V'nasa mehem hei moitzois haper. And they form the five articulators of speech. We know that we're told in many Sforim that the speech that comes out of a person's mouth can be coming from one of five places. The letters, the lips, the tongue, the upper palate, the teeth, and the throat. These are called the hei moitzois haper, the five parts of the mouth that play a role in formulating letters that come out of the mouth. So again, because of the fact that dibur originates from five, from the five gvurois of das, these five gvurois break through and come out from the mouth, and they form and shape these hei moitzois haper. We know there's a pasuk that Rabbi Nizal quotes in several places in the Likutei Moran, mipiv das usvuna. From a person's mouth, we get to know what's in the person's brain. We can't read a person's brain to know what they're thinking. When the person speaks, they're giving us an idea of what's going on in their mind at the time, especially if they're speaking intelligently. Nimtza, shekol hadiburim heim bechinas gvurois. So therefore we see from this that diburim are associated with gvurois, harshness, judgment, strength, v'tzorich lahamtikon. And we know that we're taught throughout the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus that we're always looking to soften and mitigate the gvurois. V'hahamtoko hu al yedei limud ha-toyrah. The way that we sweeten these gevurois that are reflected in our speech is, number one, by the study of Torah, and number two, v'diburim toivim shebedabrim, and by speaking good words, words that give encouragement to people, words that bring people close to Hashem. Al yidei ze mamtikim hadiburim. Through this, we sweeten the gevura within the diburim. Now Rabbi Nizal continues, Veda, and you should know, shelefa'amim yoytzin gvurois koshois rachmona litzlan. There are times when very harsh gvurois come out of a person's mouth. Ve'himboim bozeh ho'ilam ligidoile hador. And these gvurois, this doesn't necessarily refer to gvurois koshois coming from a person's mouth. This could be gvurois koshois coming from Hashem. There are times that very harsh, severe gvura comes forth from Hashem. Ve'himboim bozeh ho'ilam ligidoile hador. And these gvurois go to the leaders of the generation, machmas sheyesh lohem das godol, because these leaders, if they're good leaders, they have a high level of das, of intelligence. Alkein, therefore, kisheyotzen chas v'shom gvurois koshois, when these harsh gvurois come forth from Hashem and they come into the world, boim bedas hagdoilim, they enter into the minds of these leaders, these great people, v'shom boikin v'yotzen me'aper, and from these great people, these gvurois come forth via their mouth, v'nasa mehem diburim, and they form words, speech. V'azai hadiburim heim b'chinas gvurois koshois. Now, these words that are coming out are very severe, harsh gvurois. V'tzorich lirois lahamtikon. And therefore, we must see to it to sweeten them, to soften them, to mitigate them. And when people do not succeed in sweetening and softening these harsh gvurois, either because the people don't have the ability to sweeten them, oy shehemoz b'madrega ktana sheyef shelam tikon, or even in the case where we're talking about major leaders, people who are generally powerful people, but right now they happen to be in a low state, in a low madrega, which they don't have the power, the ability to soften these harsh gvurois. How did they get to this low level? Because even these leaders might have committed some type of a sin or some type of a pigam. Kiafilu tzadikim ugedoilim lifa'omim heim poigmim v'shoigim be'ezedovor. Because even tzadikim and great people occasionally commit a mistake, a pigam in something. Ki ein tzadik bo'oretz asher yaseh tov lo yechtah. We know there's a pasuk in Koheles which says that there's no tzadik in the world that does only good and doesn't make a mistake. Umach ma shehem oz bebechina zu, and because of the fact that these leaders are in this state now, they're not in their full power, eino mamtikin hagvurois hakoshois, they don't sweeten these powerful gvurois that have come down and that are coming out in speech from their mouth, shehem adiburim, which is this speech. Vazai, and then, kishe'enom mamtikim hadiburim shem gvurois koshois, when they fail to sweeten and soften the words, which are these harsh gvurois, azai maschilen ledaber be'elu hadiburim diburim roim al haklal. Then what happens is that these leaders start speaking words, start speaking negatively about the general public, oy al prat, or about an individual person, oy shemedabrim al tzadik hador, or they might actually speak out against the tzadik of the generation, the top tzadik of the generation. Vazai, and then kol hadiburim shelahem shem gvurois koshois boim venoiflim al tzadik hador chas v'shon, and then all of their words, which are these harsh gvurois, end up coming to and falling upon the tzaddik of the generation. V'hatzaddik hador tzorich lirois lahamtik elu hagvurois koshois shehem adiburim anal. Now, when these harsh words come to the tzaddik of the generation, he must see to it to sweeten them, to sweeten these powerful gvurois. How does he do that? V'al'yedei shehudon oisam lekaf schus boze shemedabrim olov. By the tzaddik of the generation judging those people who are speaking against him, chas v'sholem, he judges them favorably by saying, they don't really mean it, they don't know me, if they really knew me, they would never say these things about me. Nimtza shehumate klapi chesed. When the tzaddik of the generation is doing this, he's leaning towards the side of chesed. Uboze mamtikom. And through this, he sweetens those harsh gvurois. This is one way that it's accomplished. Oy, al yidei shemekabel ha'yisurim shemedabrem olov, mekablon bi'avo. Or, when the tzaddik of the generation sees that these people are speaking against him, and instead of getting angry and upset, he accepts it happily. He says, this is a gift. This is to my benefit, this is to my advantage that people are speaking against me. This is going to bring me closer to Hashem. This is going to cause me to reflect inside of myself and look to improve more and more. By the tzaddik accepting this suffering, bi'avo, al yedei zeh hu mamte gam kein diburim shelahem. He also sweetens these words that are being hurled at him, that are being thrown at him. Shehem ha-gvurois ha-koshois, which are an example of these harsh gvurois. Avol, however, im ein koya chas v'sholom b'tzadik hador lahamtikon. What if even the tzaddik of the generation, the leading tzaddik of the generation, for whatever reason, doesn't have the power at a given moment to sweeten those gvurois? Azai yucha lipoil mi madregosoi moid chas v'sholom al yidei elu agvurois anal sheboim olov. Then it's possible for the tzaddik of the generation to take a fall, to fall from his normal level as a result of these gvurois that are being thrown at him. Oy, or sheyistalik chas v'sholom al yidei zeh. Or it could even cause the tzaddik of the generation to pass away as a result of these powerful gvurois being hurled at him and his not being in a position to sweeten them. V'oz al yidei histalkusoi. And then, by the tzaddik of the generation passing away, nishmosoi mamtekes elu hagvurois hakoshois. His soul, the elevation that his soul experiences when he passes away, that softens and sweetens these very harsh gvurois. We know that when a tzaddik passes away, that causes a tremendous sanctification of the name of Hashem. We've mentioned this many times in the past, that on the holiest time of the week, we know the week has 7 days. There's the 6 days of the week and Shabbos, which is Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is holiness. On Shabbos, there are different levels. There's Friday night, there's Shabbos morning, and Shabbos Mincha, which is the holiest time, which is the highest level of chesed and rotzoin and ahava on the part of Hashem, where Hashem is closest to us at that time, on Shabbos at Mincha time. And in the Shmon Esrei there, in the last line of that middle paragraph, we make mention of the fact that V'al menuchosom yakdishu Hashemecha, and at their resting place, they sanctify your holy name, referring to the passing away of tzaddikim. That last line refers to when tzaddikim pass away, there's an incredible sanctification of the name of Hashem, and that brings about a tremendous hamtoka sadinim, a tremendous sweetening of any chas v'shalom, any harsh judgments that exist. Now Rabbi Nizal reveals an incredible thing. Umizeh hoyo histalkus habal shem toiv. And what we've described here is what caused the passing away of the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh, the great-grandfather of Rabbi Nachman. Ki Omar, because the Baal Shem Tov said, Sheyistalik, that he will pass away, Mimaiseh Hashatz, Yemach Shemoi, as a result of the whole episode with the Shabtai Tzvi, Yemach Shemoi. Ki Eitzel Hashatz, Rabbi Nizal doesn't even want to write his name out fully. Yemach Shemoi, Hayukamo Gedoile Hadoir. There were many leaders of generation at the time, rabbis, leading rabbis of the generation that were taken in by this person and followed him. Veloimdim Muflogim, people who were very learning, outstanding scholars. Shehite Oysam, whom this Shabtai Tzvi fooled them, Kamefursam, as is known. Veheim Yotzum in Aklal, and they ended up leaving the fold, Rachmana Litzlam. These rabbis ended up leaving the true religious community, Vidibru Ro'ois al Klal Torah Shebalpeh, and they ended up speaking against the oral Torah, the Gemara, the Talmud. How could such a thing happen? How could these outstanding rabbis, leaders, Talmidei Chachamim, how could they fall to such a point where they lost their faith in Torah Shebaal Peh and spoke against it? The answer is because there were these major, severe gvurois that came at them, Veloihim tikuoisam, and they did not succeed in sweetening them, machmas bechinas anal, because of the weaknesses that we explained earlier. Vialkein dibru diburim roem ala klal, and therefore, instead of speaking positively about the Jewish people, they ended up speaking negatively, speaking against the Jews. Ve'elu hadiburim naflu al gedoil hadoir, and these words fell upon the leader of the generation, the Baal Shem Tov Zichron Avrocha, who hoya oz gedoil hador. The Baal Shem Tov was the leader of the generation at that time. Umize nistalek, and this is what caused him to pass away. Ukamay shayimrim b'shem Baal Shem Tov Zichron Avrocha, as they say over in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, she'omar, that he said, shenasu loy shnei nekovim beliboy, that the whole episode with the Shabtai Tzvi caused two holes in the heart of the Baal Shem Tov, umize nestalek, and that ended up in his passing away. Ki kishemedabrim al Torah shebaper, because when Jews, chas v'shalom, speak against the oral Torah, the Torah shebaper, the Gemara, oy kishemedabrim al hatzadik hador biatzmoi, or people speak against the leading tzaddik of the generation, who dovor echod mamish. That's exactly the same. Ki ikar Torah shebaal peh hu tolui betzaddik hador. Because the whole essence of the oral Torah is dependent on and is connected to the tzaddik of the generation. K'may shekosuv, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, shchinto bein trein tzaddikayo yasva. The Shechina resides between two tzaddikim, Shehu HaTorah Shebaal Peh, which is the tzaddik who originally spoke in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and the tzaddik on earth who is studying his words, the tzaddik of the generation who is studying his words. Kemufa b'mokam acher, as Rabbi Nizal elaborated on this topic earlier in chapter 12 in Likutei Moran. V'chein, and in addition we know, HaTalmid Chacham hu ba'atzmoy HaTorah. A Talmid Chacham is the Torah. K'mo Yisham Rabbi Senezal, as the Gemara says, Makos, kama tipshoy inchi, how foolish, how silly are those people, dekaimi mikame oraisa, who stand up for a Sefer Torah, and they don't stand up for a Talmid Chacham. They don't know that a Talmid Chacham is a living Sefer Torah. So the Talmud Chacham is the Torah, and especially the Torah Shebaal Peh. So when a person speaks against the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik Hador, that's like speaking against the whole Torah Shebaal Peh, Rachmanah Litzlan. Avol kishahatzadik mamtik diburim shelahem. However, when the Tzaddik succeeds in mitigating, in softening their words, azai hu choizer v'oise mehadiburim Torah. Then the tzaddik takes those words, these words which they spoke against him or against the Torah Shebaal Peh, and he converts those words into Torah. Kemuva b'mokam achar, as Rabbeinu Zal explained earlier in chapter 12 in Likutei Moran. Vazai oise toiras chesed. And then the tzaddik hador, his Torah is a Torah of chesed, as the Gemara says. Hainu lalamed lacherim, the tzaddik of the generation, whatever he's learning, he's always looking to share it with other people. K'moisham Rabbi Senezal, as the Gemara says, in Sukkah, on the Pasuk in Mishlei, v'toiras chesed al shayna, that she has a Torah of kindness on her lips. So the Gemara asks, is there a Torah of chesed and a Torah that's not of chesed? The Gemara says, yes. Torah of chesed is one who learns and enjoys sharing their knowledge with other people. Ze haloimeid al menas lelamdo. Because most definitely, when the tzaddik succeeds in taking these words that they're speaking against him and converting it into Torah, he's able to teach others that Torah. So it ends up being a Torah of chesed. And through this, he mitigates those gvurois. He sweetens this harshness. This Torah is obviously very deep. It's not simple. He's speaking on a very high level. We know there are examples in the Torah of great tzaddikim, Eliyahu HaNavi, for example. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us, who saw the Jews in a very low state, worshipping idols, as a result of the king at that time, Achav, who misled the people. And during the time of Yerovam ben Nevat, the Jews went through very rough times. And at one point, Eliyahu HaNavi spoke out very harshly about the Jews. He said to Hashem, Hashem, the Jews have left their commitment to you. Ozvu es brischa Hashem alekecha. And Hashem responded, you're saying they left the covenant? Just for that, you're going to attend every covenant, every bris milah. Whenever there's a bris milah, they're going to set aside a chair, kisei Eliyahu, and reserve a place for you to be there, to witness that my children have not left the bris. They're still fulfilling the bris. They're taking their newborn baby boy at 8 days and performing this operation as a sign of loyalty and devotion to Hashem. And in addition, Hashem told Eliyahu HaNavi, prepare your student Elisha to take over. Because we know that Hashem always wants the tzaddikim to speak favorably about the Jews, to defend the Jews. A tzaddik is referred to as sanegorian shel Yisrael. And even under the worst circumstances sometimes, where it's very difficult, it's not easy, the tzaddik has to try to rise to the occasion and to be able to look for the good, to turn to chesed, and to try to defend the Jews and as much as possible. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most outstanding example of this. And this is why he's called Raya Mehemna, the trustworthy shepherd of the Jewish people, who never let us down. In the worst circumstances, when the Jews complained to him and rebelled, he was always there defending. He had this incredible power to turn it around, Any questions before we continue? Torah Reish Ches, 208. Rabbeinu Zal says, Loshen Rabbeinu Zal, which means that Rabbi Nosson Zal actually had the manuscript, Rabbi Nachman's notes, and this is what we're seeing here on this Torah. It's based on a Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 37, Tzoife Rosho LaTzadik. The Rosho, the evil person, watches, looks to the Tzadik, Umevakesh LaHamisoi, and he wants to murder him, he wants to kill him. Hashem lo yazvenu biyodoi. Hashem will not abandon the tzaddik in the hands of the Rasha. Pirush. What this means is, Masharishoim oisim yisurim letzadikim. This that the wicked people cause suffering to the righteous people. Veroitvenes hatzadikim. And they persecute them. Ze sibo meyes Hashem yisporach. This is actually something that Hashem himself is initiating and instigating. Kedei sheyizboinein hatzadik v'yefashvesh b'maisov. In order that the tzaddik will think deeply and analyze his own actions. He'll review, he'll look inside of himself to see what could I be doing better? How could I improve? How could I serve Hashem better? How could I serve the Jewish people better? That's how the tzaddik will respond and react when he's under attack, usually. Nemtza. So therefore we see Sheharosha hu kemoit soifer, that the Rosha is like a guard, in a sense, a watchman. He's watching that kishoymer hoir, like a person who's a guard, a lookout for a city. You have a person who's a lookout, whose his job is to look and to see if there's any trouble, any impending trouble. And if there is, to get the people in the city to prepare themselves to be able to handle it. Shenikra tzoifer, this lookout of the city is called a tzoifer. Kein horosha hu shoymer es hatzadik milipoel begashmius. So too, this Rosha, who inflicts suffering on the tzaddik, he's actually guarding the tzaddik and protecting him from succumbing to materialism, from falling into any type of gashmius. We know that in this world there's all kinds of temptations and all kinds of challenges and tests. And the greater the tzaddik sometimes, the greater the tests that they're put through. So Rabbein Zal is telling us that when the tzaddik is under attack, he often will use that as a fire to inspire him and motivate him to look inside of himself and to improve, to get better and better. Pirush Acher, another explanation of this pasuk, Ma'at hamachloikis, sheyesh al tzadikim, toivolohem. A little bit of machloikis that tzadikim experience sometimes is a benefit to them. Ki hamachloikis hi kemoi michselohem. Because the controversy, the opposition that a tzaddik experiences is like a shield, it's like a cover, covering up the light of the tzaddik, shelo yizgalu v'yisparsamu b'yoysim echdei atzorech, so that the tzaddik shouldn't be revealed and discovered and become more famous than is really necessary. Rabbeinu Zal mentions in a different chapter in Kutei Imran that in order for the tzaddik to be able to bring shefa to the world, he needs to keep a certain low profile, to keep himself hidden. And when he gets too publicized, unfortunately, that causes the opposition forces, the klipos and the sitra achra, to look for him and to want to block him from being able to serve as a conduit for shefa to come to the world. So there is a purpose, very often, for a tzaddik to maintain a certain degree of a low profile. The word soifer, loshin michse. The word soifer can also mean a covering. As the pasuk says in the Chumash, when it speaks about some of the vessels of the Mishkan, it says you will cover it with gold. The actual vessel was made out of wood in certain cases, and it had a covering of gold. So the Rosha sometimes serves as a tzoifer, a cover for the tzaddik to keep him within certain boundaries, to limit his publicity, and thereby enable the tzaddik to be effective. Aval elu harishoim marbe mamachloikis, marbe mamichse. However, these rishoim, unfortunately many times, aren't satisfied with covering the tzaddik a little bit. They want to smother him. They want to cover him up completely, chas v'shalom. Therefore, they don't make a little machloikis, they make huge machloikis. Marbe memichse, ad she'en koyach v'tzadikim lisboil machlokoisam v'senosim shorshoim. To the extent where the tzaddik isn't able to handle the opposition and the hate of these rishoim. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk means when it continues and says, u'mevakesh lahamisoi. The Rosha isn't satisfied with just covering the tzaddik a little. He wants to kill the tzaddik. Like when you cover a person from head to toe, you cover the person completely with a blanket so they can't breathe, chas v'shalom. Ad she'ef sheloi lahanshim. Kein elu horishoim hei mechasen umarbim b'tzipuyim b'machloikis. So too, these evil people, they cover up the tzaddik by making huge machloikas against him, opposing him tremendously, umevakshim lamisayim, they want to kill him. Avol, the pasuk continues, however, vahashem lo yazvenu biyodoi. Hashem will not allow this to happen. When it gets that bad, Hashem steps in and protects the tzaddik. We know that those that have read the book Through Fire and Water, or the Hebrew version, Yemei Maranat, have read about the life story of Rav Nosson Zal, both of Rabbi Nachman and Rav Nosson Zal. Both of them went through major opposition, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Yosef HaTzadik, just like the Baal Shem Tov, just like other tzaddik in different generations. And when we read about the opposition, there are times that it was bad, and there were times that it was terrible, and there were times that it was worse. And there was a certain point where Hashem drew the line, and Hashem said, Ad Kan. And then the opposition was stopped dead in their tracks. You know, Hashem said, that's enough. And Hashem saw that it was going too far. Never to oppose any tzaddikim and to try to avoid opposing any Jew, period. Any questions before we continue to the next chapter? Torah Resh Tes, chapter 209. Tfilois keneged tmidim tiknun. The Gemara says in Brachas that our prayers, Shachris and Mincha, were instituted to parallel the two Korban Tomids that were brought in the Beis Hamikdosh. The Korban Tomid in the morning and the Korban Tomid in the afternoon. The opening sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdosh, which was an Olas Tomid, and the closing sacrifice in the afternoon, which was also a Korban Tomid. Rabbeinu Zal has several chapters in Likut Imran that are based on this statement in the Gemara. We had it earlier in the 40s. Here Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki yodua, it is known, Sheyesh lekol odom tfilois ro'ois. That every person has bad prayers. K'moshom Rabbi Yosei Nezal, as the Gemara says, Ganva al machtarto rachmono karya. A thief, when he's about to commit an act of stealing, he says, Hashem, please help me, I shouldn't get caught. Now that obviously isn't a holy prayer. Hey, idiot, you're doing something Hashem doesn't want, you're stealing. And you might even commit murder if they try to stop you. So that's considered an example of a bad prayer. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, I believe, Halacha Hey, chapter 5. There, Rav Nosson Zal gives examples of three types of tefillos. We've touched on this in the past, that when a person davens for gashmius, when a person davens for materialism, without connecting it in any way to Ruchnius, Hashem, give me a car. I'd like a Ferrari because I like Ferraris, and I'd like people to see how great I am and how powerful I am and how important I am. And I want the newest model. You know, if a person davens for Gashmius without any intention of using it to serve Hashem or to please Hashem or to come close to Hashem, that kind of tefillah is referred to as a tefillah ro, chas v'shalom. The Zohar Kodesh says it's like dogs barking. Hav, 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 give, give, give me this, give me that, give me this. Without it really serving Hashem in any way. So Rabbeinu Zal says, every person could have tefillah yisroes. Nimtza, therefore, achakach, afterwards, when such a person who has some of these bad tefillos in their past, now when they get up to pray a good prayer, those bad prayers that they prayed earlier, that are still lingering around, they haven't gone up to heaven, they come and try to confuse the good prayers. And that's what's hinted to in the wording of the Gemara, prayers that are against. Neged means against. Shehi misnaget esloi. These bad prayers that the person prayed in the past are opposing the person. They're battling the person now. They're blocking and harming the good prayers. V'hatikin lozeh. How does a person deal with this? How can a person help the situation? Hachnosas oireach Talmud Chacham. By hosting a Torah scholar in your home. Ki omru Chachmei Nezal, because our rabbis tell us, oireach mevorech. The guest is the one who blesses the host. The Gemara there is speaking about the fact that when you have a guest at your table, the balabais, the host, is the one who makes the hamoitzi, is the one who slices the bread and gives it out to the people. The guest is the one who's invited to lead the blessing after the meal, the birkas hamazon, oireach mevorech. So the guest blesses. V'oireach hu bechinas, the Hebrew word for guest, which is oireach hu bechinas v'oireach tzadikim ko'or noiga. That word is associated with tzadik. There's a pasuk in Mishlei which says, the path of tzadikim is like a radiant light. And again, the word oirach is used, which is the same letters as the word oireach, guest. So we see that the guest is associated with the tzadik. Uchsiv, brocha is l'roish tzadik. And there's also a pasuk in Mishlei which says that blessings are on the tzadik's head. Bechinas shmoinesrei brochoi shebetfila. This is alluding to the blessings, the shmonesrei, the 18 blessings of our standard prayers. Nimtza she'al yodoi bo hatikon hatfila. Rabbi Mazal says this is teaching us that through the oireach, through the guest, who is a bechina of a tzaddik, through him, mevorech, you receive the blessing, and again, he empowers your prayers, which are called blessings. The Shmon Esrei is the 18 blessings. That's what it's called. Interesting to note, we're still in the month of Tishrei. We're a few days after the completion of Sukkos, and Sukkos is unique in that every one of the 7 days of Sukkos, we invite a tzaddik into our home. We invite one of the leading seven tzaddikim of the Jewish nation, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, Akon Yosef, Dovid HaMelech. The Zohar Kodesh tells us that if you want to have that tzaddik in your home, one of the ways to ensure it is by having a guest in your home. It's not enough just to say, Azamen l'sudos yishpizin, I'm inviting the yishpizin. That's cute, but they're not eating. Where's the food going? If a person invites a guest into their home, the portion that's being given to the guest is like as if it was being given to these tzaddikim, and that ensures that the invitation to the tzaddik is real. So we see here that the poor person, the guest, is the substitute for the tzaddik. He is taking the place of the tzaddik, of the seven shepherds of Klal Yisrael. And Rabbeinu Zal is telling us here that in general, when a person hosts a Talmud Chacham, they're bringing a bracha into their home. They're empowering their blessings, which means especially their prayers. Vezeh pirish, and this is what's meant by what the Gemara says, Timidin tiknun. The daily sacrifices are established. That also relates to inviting a guest, a Talmud Chacham, into your home. As the Gemara says, that a person who invites a Talmud Chacham into their home gets credit as if they brought Korban Tomids in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Gemara learns this out from a pasuk, where the pasuk in Navi speaks about inviting a guest, a Talmud Chacham. This is referring to Elisha HaNavi, that there was a couple who used to invite and host Elisha HaNavi in their home. And the pasuk says they use the words Ish Kodosh Oiver Oleinu Tomid. This holy man passes by our home, Tomid, constantly. The word tomid means constantly, and the Gemara says from here we see that hosting a holy person, hosting a Talmud Chacham, is tomid. The person gets credit as if they brought the Korban Tomid in the Beis HaMikdosh. This is extremely important to note, that when a person has such an opportunity as chus, we know the Gemara says that in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, they used to pour nesachim, they used to pour libations of wine, with the sacrifices, and on Sukkot there was also a water libation, the Nisuch HaYayin, the Nisuch HaMayim. The Gemara says, is there a way that we can do that today? The Gemara says, yes, that a person who fills the throats of Talmidei Chachamim with wine gets credit as if they poured libations on the Beis HaMikdash, you know, on the Mizbeach.
Wow.
So we see here the incredible importance that the tzaddikim are the substitutes for the Beis HaMikdash. And the Vilna Gaon actually writes this in one of his forum. He writes that when we had a Beis HaMikdash, the place where the divine spirit rested, the Hashroas HaShechina, was in the Beis HaMikdash. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Hashroas HaShechina is upon the tzaddikim. Taking a tzaddik into your home, a Talmud Chacham, is taking the Beis HaMikdash into your home, the Mizbeach, the Korban Tamid. Any questions?
Why is the analogy used for wine? You would think it would be like the Zonos or some other construct for what you're providing the Talmidei Chachamim. But you're not giving them Torah, you're giving them supposedly Parnassa or some other support.
Mm-hmm. There's several things we could say about this. Number one, because wine is what was poured in the libations on the Mizbeach. It was Nisuch HaYayin, that's what it was called, number one. Number two, there's a famous quote that's written about hosting guests in your home, that his Gashmias is your Ruchnias. When a person invites a guest into their home, usually you're not supposed to be the one to tell him to go to shul or to get up earlier. That's his issue. Your mission is, the host's mission is, to provide the gashmis, to look out, does he have what to eat? Does he have what to drink? Does he have a comfortable bed? That's the obligation of the host. Wine, we know, is an incredible high-level thing. Wine is the only drink that has its own bracha. You know, even inside of a meal, even after you washed on bread, if you're drinking wine, you make a separate bracha on the wine. So wine, in many respects, is the top of the top. And especially, again, when it comes to a Talmud Chacham, we know that wine is called Tiroish. The Gemara says, because wine has two powers. When a person drinks it properly, it expands the intellect, the thinking, the Chachma, the Seichel of the person. So again, by a Talmud Chacham, giving him wine is elevating his Chachma, it's elevating his Chachma, his Kedusha, it's taking him to a whole other level. So some of the things I could think of, you know, and why the Gemara says that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Okay. Torah Reish Yud, chapter 210. Rabbeinu Zal says, Al yidei masa umatan be'emuna, by a person conducting business properly, faithfully, honestly, he is fulfilling the mitzvah of loving Hashem. Loving Hashem with your whole heart, with your soul and money. As the Gemara says, in explaining the term v'yohavta, the Gemara says, it's not enough to just say, Hashem, I love you, I love you. But rather, the Gemara says, that a Jew has a responsibility to live in such a way that Hashem's name should become beloved through you. That when people see how you behave, they see how you act, and they associate you with Hashem, you're a religious person, they see a yarmulke, they see a beard and payas, they can recognize that you're Jewish, and they say, wow. Wow, that's a religious person, that's a Jew, that's someone who believes in Hashem, that's the Hashem of the Jewish people. And we know, again, there are examples of that. On Yom Kippur, one of the highlights of Yom Kippur is Maftir Yonah, where we read the story of the prophet Yonah, who Hashem sent him on a mission to go tell the people of Nineveh that either they do tshuva or they're going to be destroyed, and Yonah tries to run away from Hashem, and he gets on a boat, and a storm breaks out, And in the end, they discover that he's the cause of the storm. And they ask him, what is this all about? And he says, I know that this is all my fault because I tried running away from Hashem. And there is no running away from Hashem. And therefore, if you want the storm to subside, the only way to do it is throw me overboard. And it says they felt terrible at doing this. They were horrified. But he insisted and he told him this is the only solution. So they ended up doing it, and sure enough, they threw him into the sea, and right away a huge fish came and swallowed him up, and immediately the storm subsided. And the Navi says there that they were all filled with fear of Hashem. And the Zohar HaKadosh Gemara says they all converted on the spot. Mm-hmm. All of those non-Jewish sailors all converted, period. So again, this was an example of Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name of Hashem. They saw his honesty, his sincerity, and his selflessness, and knowing that, you know, and this was awe. And again, there are many cases like this where people saw, you know, the Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying the name of Hashem, and causing Hashem's name to become beloved in the world through proper kind of behavior. U'kishemekayim v'yohavta. And when a Jew fulfills this v'yohavta, through this, the person will be zeicha that their livelihood will come to them without struggle. They'll be relieved from the curse, which we read in last week's Parsha. Just yesterday on Shabbos, we read Parsha's Bereishis. And as a result of Adam and Chava eating from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem said, Be'itzavon toichalena, that there's going to be a struggle for Parnassah. It's going to come with struggle and difficulty. Rabbi Nazal says, when a Jew fulfills this v'yohavta, through this the person could be zecha to Parnassah without struggle. Ki omru chachom ezer avrocha, because our rabbis tell us, koshin mezaynoisov kekriyas yamsuf, that earning a livelihood is as difficult as splitting the Red Sea. Ukriyas yamsuf, and we know that the splitting of the Red Sea, one of the major players who played a role in bringing that about was Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu is known as the Ish HaChesed. He's known as Ahava, love. As it says by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayoshov Hayom Lifnois Boiker, that the sea returned towards morning. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, Do Boiker di Avraham, morning, M-O-R-N-I-N-G, refers to the merit of Avraham Avinu, about whom the Torah says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, that Avraham Avinu woke up early in the morning to go to the Akedah. And Avraham Avinu is represented by Boiker. He's the one who initiated the prayer of Shachris, which is the morning prayer. So we see the association between Kriyas Yamsuf and Avraham Avinu. And Parnassah is compared to Kriyas Yamsuf. It says Parnassah, the difficulty of Parnassah is like the difficulty of Kriyas Yamsuf. So through the merit of Avraham Avinu, through this Ahava, through V'yohavta Hashem Elokecha, Nimtza Kishegia Eis HaBoiker, the Torah is telling us that when morning arrived, Bechinas Avraham, which means the merit of Avraham Avinu, Azai Yotza Mikishu Lakal. That's when the difficulty was alleviated, and it became easier for Hashem to perform the splitting of the Red Sea to save the Jews and to drown the Egyptians. Ki ad haboiker hayakoshlofan of Kriyas Yamsuf, because until the morning, it was difficult, kaviyochel, for Hashem to perform Kriyas Yamsuf. We know one of the reasons is because we're told that the angel who represented the sea said, why? Why should I be used to save the Jews and drown the Egyptians, their idol worshippers and their idol worshippers? And this was a claim. This was a major prosecution. And this brought about major dinim, gvurois. And this had to be mitigated and alleviated through the merit of Avraham Avinu, through the Boiker. Nimtza, we conclude therefore that al yedei masa umatan be'emuna, by a Jew performing business in an honest way, where people see the way the Jew's doing business and they say, wow, that's Judaism, that's religion, that's their religion, that's their Hashem. Through that, ochuz bebechinas v'yohavta, that person is attaching himself to this attribute of v'ahavta, loving Hashem and bringing others to love and respect Hashem. Azai ein koshin lo mezanoisov. Through this, the person will be alleviated from the struggle and the difficulties of earning a livelihood. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? The definition of Maso Matan Be'emuna means several things. It means conducting business with honesty, with faith, and also showing faith in Hashem. There are cases of wealthy people who engaged in tremendous, huge business deals, and it was getting close to Shabbos, and the person said, sorry, I can't continue this because my Shabbos... Person said, you're going to lose the deal. If we don't close the deal, we don't finish this. Person said, I'm sorry. Hashem comes first. And the person on the other end was so impressed, was so in awe by the respect that the person had for their religion, that alone is what helped them to actually consummate the deal. There's a story that I read not long ago about a person related to the laws we had Chol HaMoed recently, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And we know the Gemara tells us that if a person doesn't show the proper respect to the holidays, they're chayev misa, death penalty. And the Gemara says that refers most especially to Chol HaMoed, to the interim period between the first days and last days of the holidays. There are some people that don't realize this. They come to shul on Chol HaMoed in their weekday clothing, and they don't know that the Gemara and the Halacha tell us that a person is supposed to treat Chol HaMoed as holiday in many respects. There's an obligation to have a holiday meal, number one. There's an obligation to dress holiday. So there was a story about a person who was engaged in a very major business deal, and a meeting took place on one of the days, I don't remember if this was Chol HaMoed or a different day when we don't shave. And the person went to their rabbi and they told the rabbi that this deal, I'm afraid if I come to the meeting unshaven, that they're going to look at me as an unkempt person, they're not going to want to do business with me, and I'll lose this major, major deal. The rabbi thought it over, and the rabbi told him, don't shave. Do not shave. The person seemed to accept it at the time, but when the day arrived, they couldn't bring themselves to do it. They were afraid that, mamish, they're going to blow the whole deal, and they ended up shaving and coming into the business meeting with these non-Jews, and they sit down to talk, and they see that they recognize that he's a Jew, maybe he was wearing a kippah, they recognize a religious Jew, and then somehow, before they start actually discussing the deal, somebody mentions, this is holiday, this is chop. He says, I remember having meetings at this time, and seeing that the religious people don't shave, you know what? How come you shaved? And the person turned red and they were embarrassed. They couldn't think quickly to give any kind of answer. Mm. And sure enough, the other person, the non-Jew, called his partners out of the meeting and said, if this person isn't loyal to his own religion, how can we trust him, you know, that he'll be loyal, you know, trustworthy regarding the business deal? And the person ended up losing the business deal just because of that. So here again, there's this aspect of emunah, showing faith in Hashem, showing faith in the Torah, showing faith in tzaddikim, and believing in oneself. Believing in oneself, not selling one's soul to the devil for the sake of parnasa, and not crossing any lines of illegitimacy, and bringing about a kiddush Hashem in the way the person does business, even in cases where a person doesn't have to sometimes. Person's buying something in a store, they're given the wrong change, they're given too much money, different circumstances like that. And the person goes ahead and returns it and gives it back. And the non-Jewish owner or the non-religious owner sees this and says, wow, wow. And very often that brings about this love and respect for Hashem. We should be zeche to conduct ourselves the right way and bring about this ava. And now we're starting a new year. We're starting a new year. People who took off, people who were for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, there were so many days that people weren't working, people that normally go to work. And we think, wow, we lost all of this time, now we're going back to work. Shbizrecha to follow the advice of the Torah and to believe that our parnasa comes from Shabbos, from Yontif, from Hashem, and to conduct ourselves the right way and bizrecha thereby to a blessed parnasa, a real bracha and hatzlacha, Mitzvah Shem. We'll hold it over here for now. Have a wonderful week and a good Geben Shchodesh to all. We have 2 days Rosh Chodesh this week. All the best.